Welcome to This Woman Can, the Women's Leadership Podcast and your source of information related to women's leadership, female entrepreneurship, personal success and career advancement. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland, Executive Coach, Leadership Development Expert and the author of This Woman Can, the No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead. And now, this week's episode. Hi everyone, Janice here. Thank you for taking time out of your day, wherever you are, to listen to the show. You know I really appreciate it. And I just want to share that with you and say thank you for supporting with your ratings, your reviews, and your subscriptions via your favorite podcast channel. Now, one of the added benefits of doing this show, or the unforeseen benefits of doing this show, was the fantastic and talented women I would get the opportunity to interview. And this week's guest was no exception. My guest this week is Christine Fraser, who is the founder and design director of Trefle Inc., based in the British Virgin Islands. Born from a rich inheritance of fabric and fashion, Trefle Designs embodies the boldness of artistry that is present in the culture of the BVI. Now, after receiving her Bachelor of Fine Arts in Fashion Design and Marketing, Christine interned for Carolina Herrera and BCBG Max Azria in the spring of 2006. She then returned home as a next generation seamstress and entered the new world of fashion. And in 2008, she launched Trefle, a swim and resort wear company focused on men, women and children. 11 years on, Trefle has become the home of the Virgin Islands' most characteristic fashion choices, with product offerings and different labels: Trefle for men and women, Trefle 284 for children, and Trefle Home for home goods and accessories. Her success includes press mentions far too numerous to mention, but really do listen out for all the name drops we discuss, from Beyonce to Tyson Beckford, and details of her most successful collaboration with US company based Otterbox, where Christine was the first Caribbean designer to create her own line of Fashion Symmetry series phone cases in 2017 and 18. With Kristen at the helm, Trefle has grown with far more love and appreciation for its territory, with the opportunity to design the opening ceremonial wear for the 2016 Olympics in Brazil and the 2017 Commonwealth Games in Australia for the BVI Olympic team and committee. And in 2008, she launched the charitable arm of Trefle as the 284 Foundation, a non-profit organisation whose mission is to support creative arts, education, opportunities for young people in the BVI. It was a very lively, it was a very fun interview to do. So without further ado, let's get on with it, and you can listen and give me your feedback via your comments on social media as usual. Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of This Woman Can. And my guest this week is Christine Fraser. Now, I'm going to let her describe or tell you about her journey, because when I read her bio, I was so impressed and also want to know why I hadn't known about this woman and the fabulous work she does before. So, Christine, welcome to This Woman Can.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, as I said, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your journey, what you do, because I haven't told them what you do as yet, and how you got to where you are today?
So I am a vibrant 35-year-old seamstress turned fashion designer. I like to say for anyone that doesn't know that I am a third generation seamstress. And so I think that me being a fashion designer really comes from a little bit of hereditary traits. It comes from organic and raw talent, and it just comes from a passion that I've had for as long as I could remember. So for the past 11 plus years, I have been focusing solely on being a fashion designer and owning my craft, growing my business, and developing and nurturing my talents, right, and not just locally where I'm from, which is Tortola in the British Virgin Islands. I'm a Caribbean girl, but also trying to spread my wings regionally and internationally. And so my company that I run here in the British Virgin Islands is called Truffle, and it's really French, so it's Truffe, and it means clover leaf. And I decided to name my company after my grandmother, one, because she herself has been such a pioneer and such a philanthropic person throughout the community here in the British Virgin Islands. She's no longer with us. And that's also the second reason that she's no longer with us. And just for the third reason, I wanted to keep the legacy of her, right, her talents, her skills, her whole, you know, aura, and her character and how she represented her, not just herself, but our family in the British Virgin Islands, and the kind of impact that she made in the community. I wanted to keep that alive and well through what it is that I do. And so I'm going to take it back, because it all leads to a good place, I promise. I started sewing pretty much at the age of 7, and I couldn't run from it. It was just something that was in me, and I got my first real sewing machine at the age of 7, and so I've just been like going ever since, and the passion has been there from long before. So mother, grandmother, great grandmother, aunts, uncles, cousins, wow, everybody knows how to sew. Right. And fast forward, you know, going through primary school and high school, all I did and my sole focus was on home economics, clothing and textiles, and that whole aura of career goal. Yeah. So I really, really had a passion for that. And then I also, a lot of people wouldn't know this, but I do sing and I play the clarinet as well. And so I had many opportunities in high school. And so my career path started to go from, yes, I love to sew and pattern make and drape, and I'm doing all these different things, and I'm so excited to see where, you know, what I want to do when I leave school, and how is it all going to come together for me with my passion, and also working together along with my grandmother and my uncle in the family business, right, that we have here in the Virgin Islands called Clovers. So it's all tied together.
Okay.
I had the option to either go to school to learn music and do theater and drama, that type of thing, because I'm very, very animated.
Yeah.
When I'm not making people laugh. And the other leg was, of course, to go to school to further my studies and kind of hone in on my craft and study fashion design and marketing. And so I just couldn't run from it. I could not run from it, and I decided to stick with it. And I'm really glad that I did, because, you know, fast forward 11 years later, I was able to, or at least I am still making sure that I combine my business experience and growing up in the family business here in the Virgin Islands, my design background in terms of how I design, the type of product that I design, and my all-around networking opportunities, and just being a good representation and having a really good attitude about life and about business, and how I merge the two together to create a really beautiful impact, not just on my community, in the entire world, if I could. So I focus solely on swimwear.
Oh, resort. Okay.
I focus on accessories and home goods. And so everything plays a part and it comes together nicely, because I'm not all over the place in terms of, I do bridal and I do men's sportswear.
Right,
and I do,
right.
You know, that. I really try to follow my business plan and keep everything tied together. And so my main niche is the swimwear department. And then I added the resort wear for men and women. And then shortly after, I added kids swim. So that's tied in. And my kids swim line is called Truffle 284. Right. And so the 284 is actually the area code for the British Virgin Islands. Yeah. And so that's all going to just keep tying it in there.
Yeah, I hear that.
Paradise, you know, when you live in paradise, you get nothing but inspiration from...
We'll be competing for the paradise honors, all right? We'll be competing.
And once I got that settled a few years in, I decided to launch my home line. Right. Because I have had the opportunity to visit different parts of the world and visit different manufacturers, but it's nothing like home. It's always going to be... Home is where the heart is, and I really wanted to be able to start producing product in the British Virgin Islands for export. And a lot of people don't know, but the British Virgin Islands doesn't have that much product of export. We import literally maybe 99% of everything. And so I really wanted to start opening those doors and creating job opportunities and all those sorts of things that come with wanting to export a well-made product overseas. So I started my Truffle Home collection. And so this is where we stand today with me having swim, resort, accessories, and home. So in a nutshell, I'm a fashion designer that lives in the beautiful island of Tola, and I love what I do.
Fabulous, fabulous. Now, you say you come across as very fortunate or very passionate about what you do, but has there ever been a time where you thought, why? You know, why did I choose this career? And if you did, what would you have done differently?
You know, sometimes I think about it because music runs the world, and I really do love music. And I was just telling my mom that I think I'm going to join back. I used to be a part of what's called the College Chorale here in the Virgin Islands. Right. Where it's just a chorale of beautiful melodic singers. And there's also what's called the College Woodwind Ensemble that has the clarinets and the flutes and the violins. And so I literally joined back those clubs because I missed music. I really missed the depth of it. And sometimes I like to think, you know, what if I had gone along that path and really focused and honed in on music? You never know, I might have been a backup singer for Beyonce.
Oh, the backup. Now, I would have said you would have been the front singer, you know.
It's always great to collaborate, you know. One never knows, but even though I missed it and I decided to join these programs, I think it's kept me grounded. Music for me is life, and I use that as an outlet for basically anything across the board. If I'm very frustrated at work, or maybe I could have lost a few thousand here on this deal, or I got a really great opportunity to collaborate on this deal. Music really is very soul satisfying and gratifying for me, and that's how I look at life.
Yeah.
And I think that if I wasn't into fashion, I definitely would do music, but they complement each other so well.
Right.
So well. And so I could never really separated. Like it's always gonna mesh for me. So
that's fabulous. Well, you've been very successful, so kudos to you. But can you describe one of your biggest challenges that you faced and how you overcame it and what you learned?
Yes, because there's been quite a few. Quite a few. I would definitely say that my biggest challenge was I'm going to be very, very real and very honest. My biggest challenge, honestly, was losing close to $10,000 in my first year. And even though that's 11 years ago, it's still very challenging, and it still affects the brand today.
Wow.
Just because of my demographics, where I live, because of the day-to-day communications and all of the different requirements that comes with having a business and having a business in the Caribbean and having a business one of the smallest islands in the Caribbean.
Yes.
It really can be very, very frustrating, and you could lose so much money so fast.
Right.
And for me, I knew, if I live in a very small country, I automatically have to think big, and I have to go global and try to be international as possible. And so with the kind of passion I have, I'm just going to hit the ground running. And with the kind of work ethic that I have, I just go for it and I keep going. And I had another interview the other day, and I said to the lady, you know, I actually like to build the door. So if I can envision something, I will build the door, create the whole scenery, the whole opportunity, knock on it, and then just blow it open, and then, you know, hope for the best and just kind of make it work and make things happen by whatever means necessary, but through whatever positive means. And so losing that $10,000 in my first year, it set me back a year or two. That was really through manufacturing, because I was like on top of the world. Yay, I found manufacturing in 1 year. I had already learned how to sew. I already had my degree. You know, I knew how to speak the lingo in terms of manufacturing, because those manufacturers, they don't want to hear you if you really don't understand the lingo. Especially also if you don't have the money to back it, you know, they don't want to waste their time, you know, because time is money, and I get it. So I was super excited, but then, you know, things went left, and I basically got taken advantage of, and I got a 6 for a 9. And that really, really hurt. That really hurt because I worked so hard to save.
Right, right.
Launching brand and working on it. And so when that set me back, it triggered something in my mind. It was either I was going to accept the defeat and just go get, you know, a regular job and work 9 to 5, work in my grandparents' business, or I could keep going and I could really, really hone in on the fact that this is not going to be easy. I'm going to have challenges. I'm definitely going to have more obstacles the more I climb. I'm going to have setbacks. And if I'm going to be okay with that and know that when that happens, how I deal with it is how I can build on it for future, then I'm going to be okay. And so once I mentally accepted what is and what could be so that whatever comes my way, I could deal with it accordingly, I was okay. Fabulous. And so after that, that big hiccup there's definitely been a few more hiccups and more success, actually, I might add. But I've definitely always stayed the course, and I've tried to be positive no matter what. And even as I work into my new collection right now, definitely has challenges, but I definitely try to stay positive, stay grounded. Go to my favorite song, one or two of my favorite songs to keep me, you know, calm.
Yes.
And you want to scream sometimes, but I keep it all together as much as possible. And I keep a good support system around me as well.
Excellent. We'll come on to the support system, but I just want to ask you a quick question about what you said. One of the things you said there was about the manufacturers almost having wanting to have confidence in you, and that you know the lingo and stuff like that. And that made me think about, there are some people out there who talk about faking it till you make it. Would that have worked in that scenario?
I don't think so. The only way I can see it working in a scenario like that is if they had the money and then they had a good buddy or somebody that knows the lingo, and then they would be like the liaison or the mitigator. But you solely faking it till you make it in terms of manufacturing and trying to get through on that level, I don't think that would work at all.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Sorry?
And that could definitely be challenging.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, you talked about having career triumphs. So, what has been your biggest career triumph?
I think that my biggest career triumph actually is Otterbox.
Okay.
So, Otterbox, they have been such a phenomenal support system for me. Otterbox is, for those that don't know, is a US-based company that specializes in manufacturing wonderful cell phone accessory, cell phone cases and other accessories to the world.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate to meet the owners a few years back, and I said to myself, I like to sketch a lot in a quiet place, and one of my quiet places is here in the office when the store is closed down. I was sketching my new collection, and I said to myself, wow, I need to add some accessories that would be able to create a little bit more revenue, because swimsuits sell every day for me. Yeah. And I said, okay, complimenting with a phone case would be really awesome. And I said, wait a minute. I went through the process, did a sample and everything, and I said, but wait a minute. I met the founders of Otterbox, and they were absolutely amazing. I wonder if it will be possible to do a collaboration with them. You know, you never know. And so I am of the firm believer that if you do not ask, you just will never know. And what is the worst that could happen? They can say no, and then you're fine, and you keep moving on, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just shot my shot, basically. And I sent the email, and 3 cases later, doing amazingly well for them and for me. And so, you know, for me to be able to sell over 100,000 cell phone cases.
Wow.
And I would know half of the people in the world that would have bought it, but they would have bought it because they love it and they love the print. And you would have seen my little logo there, a truffle etched into the phone case, which is definitely a great win, a great accomplishment, not just for me and for the brand, but for my community and for the country as a whole, because a lot of people also wouldn't have known much about the British Virgin Islands.
Right, definitely.
And that is something that that I pride myself in to be able to spread the love for the brand and the kind of quality products that we provide and the kind of services and lifestyle that comes with having such a brand in the British Virgin Islands, and paralleling that as paralleling the BVI as a destination is a joy. So it was definitely one of my biggest highlights for my career so far.
Fantastic. Now, I love that about the asking, because I did a post not so long ago about just that, and the fact that I was always very hesitant personally to ask for things, because for me, and I know I understood the reason why, I'm going to get into the story, but for me, having to ask for something gave that other person the power to say no of something I wanted. So in order for me to retain that level of control, I wouldn't ask.
Right.
But what exactly. But what I realized was that it's actually far more detrimental, because what's the worst that could happen? As you said, they could say no, and you're in no worse a situation than you were when you started.
Correct.
You know, so I changed. I've had a whole change of mindset and just said, look, I just go for it. You know,
that's
what's the worst could happen. You're gonna say no. You may say no, but you may say yes.
Yes, you know, and that's why the mindset is such a strong thing when it comes to business or just life in general. And you know, okay, great. Yes, I'm a fashion designer, but that comes with so many different things, and being able to, or trying to figure out how to balance life and fashion and the samples and fashion shows and marketing and social media posts and the influencers and videography and, oh, what's this new thing? Oh, and SEOs, and you have to do, it's so many different things, you know, you have to try to figure out, at least for me, and to balance that, you know, it could really be very overwhelming, but you know, I use all of that. I bottle that up and I use it all as energy to fuel myself further. It's yes is yes and no is no. And I've gotten accustomed to that.
In situations where you do feel overwhelmed, how do you handle it?
Sometimes it might be one of two ways. Sometimes I actually take a step back.
Yeah.
I relax. I go to like my Zen space, which would literally be my room, my own room. Close the door, and whether it is that I read articles, or again, I listen to my favorite songs, or actually watch Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
It just soothes me. And within the different spaces that I choose to regroup or just take a moment, it births a lot of ideas, births new concepts, births new thought-provoking designs, and all kinds of things would come up. And you know, sometimes I digress for 2 seconds, but one time I was literally in the bank and doing a transaction, and I just looked over and I think I saw someone wearing something so awesome, and I was like, oh wow, look at that. Got inspired and started sketching something that just came to mind, and the teller said to me, is that how you do it? You just sketch. And they replied, is that how it's done? And I had to laugh, because you know, for me, it was just so soothing. And I looked over and I was like at peace, and it just brought so many different design concepts to my head that I wanted to get out. And I got it out right then and there. But, you know, for me, fighting challenges or getting any obstacles that might come in my way, any challenges that might come, it doesn't make sense to be loud. It doesn't make sense to be screaming all over the place. It doesn't make sense to add more fuel to the fire, for lack of a better term. It's just all about taking a step back, analyze exactly how you got to this place, why did it happen, and how can we actually change course and you know, revisit whatever it is that you need to revisit and come through again with a better mindset, a different outlook, and that will produce a different result. And that would in turn turn to growth, and that would in turn to lead to more, you know, you being more at peace to be able to make better decisions across the board, whether you are the one that was at fault or something happened to you to cause, you know, the thing within your company or whatever that happened.
Right.
It's just all about really trying to keep a really, really positive, space and energy about you, because the mind can really be a powerful thing.
Oh, very much. I work a lot with it, with a lot of women on a daily basis. And that is one thing that always trips them over, Yeah, and so no, I totally understand. I totally understand. And one of the things you mentioned earlier was that your support network. So describe your support network, or as I call them, collectives. So your support network, and how that works for you.
So my support network, I can count on one hand.
Okay.
Because I used to keep like a lot of people around me because, you know, I had so much going on. I was one man band and trying to do everything, and just kept a lot of people around me all the time, and realized that within that, what I thought was my support system really a true support system of people that were genuine and people that were fully understanding of what I wanted for the brand, what I was trying to represent, and how we can all collectively grow together through the business and through the goals of the business. And so once I narrowed it down, narrowed down the type of people that I engage, my circle, the type of events I would go to, and the type of people that I would engage in, even networking with certain type of people, even within the fashion industry. Once I filtered through all of that, I really honed it down to literally a few people on one hand who could really be a genuine, honest, true support system that could be there for me if I wanted to call at 2 a.m. They're there to listen, lend a helping hand, you know, across the board. And that's given me so much peace, and that's given me so much more positive perspective and outlook on life in itself. And I think that really has also helped me to grow the business because of that, just because of that. Because I narrowed in on who the key players were and who I wanted to have literally in my circle and in my own space in my life. Yeah. Very, very important.
No, I totally agree. Totally agree with you. And it's about having almost your own personal board of advisors, the people you know you can count on to tell you exactly, you know, what you need to do, or that's not a good idea, or just be really honest with you and that you respect and listen to.
And it took me just about the 11 years to get there. This did not happen overnight. The success with Otterbox did not happen overnight. That was like 6 months to almost a year of planning. You know, everything takes time. Yeah. And so what I'm thankful for is the opportunity to be able to even get the opportunity to be able to filter out these things and continue to do the work that I love, because, you know, things could have gone left 3 years in, things could have gone south 2 years in. And, you know, I am very, very thankful to God for me to be able to be here and interview lovely people.
Thank you. I'm flattered. So Kristen, knowing what you know now, is there anything you would do differently?
No.
Okay.
And I say that without any regrets, that's exactly what it is. Absolutely not. Because I believe that experience is the best teacher. And I do not think, while, you know, we as humans in life, we make mistakes, you might make a wrong decision, you might make a good decision, you know, your experience is still your experience, you know. And while I may have like one or two regrets, I wouldn't take anything back at all. The $10,000, it was supposed to happen, you know. Me having the opportunity to dress Beyonce, it was supposed to happen.
You didn't tell me that. You didn't share that. Sorry, listeners. You didn't share that.
I know. Should that have been my best highlight then?
So hang on a minute. So I don't know where to carry on or segue into that. Tell us about Beyonce.
Beyonce and the opportunity to dress Beyonce, that was definitely a highlight, yes. In 2014.
Right.
And I speak about it because I'm trying to speak it into existence again for it to happen. But in 2014, she got a new stylist, and the new stylist really wanted to start working with a lot more fresh brands, new faces.
Yeah. Yeah.
The stylist was also building her portfolio and repertoire as Beyonce's new stylist. And so she had a very good friend, or a best friend, dare I say, that, you know, was in the fashion industry as well. And she told her friend, you know what? I'm looking for new talent. I want designers of swim and resort. I need new people. Do you know people? Because, you know, help me help you be great, you know? And all this time, over the course of about maybe 4, 5, 6 years, this young lady named Janelle Hickman, she's been, you know, following the brand. I met her once, and I got featured in Essence Magazine, which was my first international publication, overjoyed, in 2009. And she was following me all this time. And so that's another thing. You just never know who's watching all your social media posts. I'm very, very specific and meticulous about what it is I post, when I post, who I post, how I post, why I post, and when I post. Right? And so she's following me all these years. And when her friend said, so do you know any swimwear designers? She said, yes, I've got the girl for you. And mind you, we hadn't spoken in years, you know, but then she just pops up and said, hey, Kristen, you know, long time. My friend has a high-end client that would like to get a few swimsuits. So I suggested you, here's a number, reach out. I said, okay, not a problem. And I'm right here in Cola. And I reached out, and the young lady answered the phone, and she said, my name is Zarina, and I, you know, would love to get a few swimsuits for Beyonce, my client Beyonce. And the phone was silent. I seconds there, because very animated. I just didn't even know what to say. I'm sitting in BVI, like, well, okay. Because in my mind, I thought it was going to be maybe a B, C, or D list, maybe a reality star, you know, someone of that nature. I'm not thinking Beyonce, you know. And then she said to me, okay, so where's your showroom? I said, I'm not located in the U.S. I'm located in the British Virgin Islands. That's where I'm based. That's where the brand is. Do you know where the BVI is? And she said, yes. Okay, well, I'm not sure that's going to work, you know. I said, oh, well, why not? She said, well, you know, you're all the way down there, X, Y, Z. So I said to her, you know, my salesperson drive, I kicked in the overdrive. Please do not let the waters divide us. We have DHL, we have FedEx. I can get anything that you need.
There's a will, there's a way.
Correct. I said, you give me the opportunity, I will make it happen, guaranteed. And I tried to sell myself, and so I did. And, you know, fast forward, she definitely wore a piece of mine, not once, but twice, and Blue Ivy also wore some pieces. And so I am so, so happy that it happened. And interestingly enough, a lot of people don't know this part, but I was actually discouraged from working with Beyonce in terms of, you know, doing the work for her. I was discouraged because there were folks telling me that I couldn't handle it. The brand is nowhere near ready to accept such an opportunity. It's not going to go well for you. You need to tell them, no, it's not going to happen. And you can't get it done. And I said to myself, I thank you so much for your advice. Yes. I really do thank you for your advice. Yes. But I'm going to go ahead and go through with this. You know why? Because at the end of the day, it cannot be taken away. Yeah. It have I have the credits, I have the pictures, I have, you know, all of it that comes with it, and it can't be taken away. But they were right in the sense of the follow up, the aftermath. Right. You know, I didn't have a lawyer. I didn't have PR. I didn't have hardly anything.
Yeah.
So afterwards, and the brand was not as well known.
Yes.
On top of everything else, when it happened, you know, and I wouldn't have known when it was going to happen, folks were like, well, who's the designer? And I'm in the British Virgin Islands jumping up and down. It's me. It's, you know,
right,
it's Chris.
Right. Yeah.
And the negativity of the press that could come in, they all came in and they swooped in, and I got, you know, who is this brand trying to come up on Beyonce? Who is this person? What is Treffle? What is, you know, and it into something that didn't lead to as much sales. It wasn't like the wonderful dream that you would think.
Yeah.
And so that is what it is that they were talking about. And I understand that now. But I'm still thankful that it happened.
Because,
you know, I got the opportunity and I got the experience that came with it.
About to say, because listen, now you know what not to do next.
Now, of course. So if they call again, I'm ready.
And they will. And they will.
And they will. And
they will.
I am ready. And I still live in Tortola. So I am definitely more advanced and more ready to take action and take all these press magazines and press news reporters and grab them by the horns and be like, hello, it's legit, and YZABC. Yes. So I think that the Beyonce thing definitely was monumental for me as well, and I'm grateful for that. And over the course of the years as well, having a few other celebrity mentions and opportunities to work with Chrisette Michelle, and she was actually the face of my collection. I flew her to the BVI for that, which is awesome.
Wow.
And I've had Tyson Beckford wear a piece And now Beyonce's publicist, Miss Yvette Noel Shore, yes, is actually an avid follower of mine. And she definitely has pieces from every collection since 2017. She has pieces. So it's, you know, the brand in itself, while it's still in its infancy stages, and that might sound very, very, not bad, but it might sound, why would you say that in your 11 years and you have all these credits? Well, it's still in its infancy stages because I'm still growing the business itself.
Doesn't have
as much pull. We're not in as many stores. And, you know, let's be honest, sometimes the celebrity placements might be really great. Yes. But after that, there's still not much traction.
Yes.
Unless you have the budget to be able to really market and push and run you in excess of $3,000 to $5,000 a month just to be able to stay out in the public eye and turn that into sales online and in stores, and also, you know, buyers that would buy for their boutique stores or the resorts that I would be marketing to. Those buyers are attending trade shows, and I've only done one trade show in 11 years. You know, and also that comes with having, making sure you have a budget and all these different things, and finite details that come with understanding.
It's the hidden, what you don't see. We just see the gloss and the shiner, but there's a lot of hard work that goes behind
it. Lovely videos and the press but behind the scenes, after it all, you really have to dig in. And I want to say, you know, at this juncture, that it's very important for fashion designers to understand, and I'm only speaking from experience, that, you know, for me, when I decided, my business started really progressing when I stopped treating my business as an entertainment, like just as an entertainment kind of thing versus an actual business. So I cut out on the fashion shows. I don't do as much fashion shows anymore. I focus more on the networking, or starting to focus on the SEO and generating more traffic to the website, and all those things that really make up a business and make up the core of your business to really reach those numbers of getting to your goal. And once I started treating it as a business and not just another fashion brand, then, you know, things started to take off.
So, Kristen, you talked about having been focused on your goals and knowing what you're going for. What do you think holds women back from going for their own goals?
I think there are a few things. There are definitely a few things. One would be your actual self, and you could be holding yourself back because of family duties. You could be holding yourself back because of children duties. You could be holding yourself back because you just have a mountain of debt. You could be holding yourself back because you just have a fear that if you do it and you're not successful, what will you become, or what would the outlook be, and how would that be perceived by others around you if you have a circle people that you love. It could be so many factors, and that's why, you know, I go back to talking about having a very, very strong mindset. And it's not having a strong mindset to say, oh, I am independent and I know everything. It's just having the confidence in yourself,
right,
be able to put, you know, that energy into what it is you're trying to achieve, so that you may inspire others and do not just for yourself, but for others, you know, in everything that I do. And I think that as I think about it, because sometimes I just don't really think about it, I just do that. It comes organically. Everything that I try to do, I have the bigger picture in mind.
Right.
And so once I have the bigger picture in mind, and I come back, you know, I work towards that bigger picture. And within that bigger picture always has others. There's never been one independent time where it's just Kristen and Truffle and that's it. Everything that I do is for a reason, and I have a plan, and it's always about that bigger picture, you know. And for a woman that might be really thinking, well, can I really do it? Can I go on the limb? Can I jump over the cliff with or without the parachute? You really, really can do it. It's 2019 and we're going into 2020, and there's so many case studies and just so many women in general that you could research now and Google that are doing it, there, yes, whatever it is, across whatever spectrum. Yes. And you're seeing so many so much evidence of it now through women empowerment sessions. And there's always a women's brunch over here and a women's empowerment session over here, happening all over the world. And not just with Black women, but just women of all diverse backgrounds and cultures and ethnicities.
Yeah.
Coming together and understanding each other's core problems and building on each other, because a lot of us have a lot of the same exact challenges.
Yes.
You know, and when you meet other designers and other business women, period, that may not be in the fashion industry, they have a lot of the same exact challenges I do, even though one might have their own art firm, I might have my own fashion house, but we have a lot of the same challenges.
And
so being able to speak in such a space really helps to concrete things for you, and it really helps to encourage. Yeah. I've attended quite a bit of those women empowerment sessions myself. And so, you know, for those women that are really thinking on whether or not they should really just take the leap, because what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
You know, the thing that you cannot get back in this life is time. Once it's gone, it's gone. And you know, that particular statement really hit me. It really, really hit me about, I would say, about 2 to 3 weeks ago, because my birthday's coming up. I'm 36, and I'm going to go real deep and real here. Birthday's coming up. I'm going to be 36. I've invested 11 years in the business, but I'm still not married, and I don't have any children yet. And those are things that are on my, you know, on my radar to do.
Yeah.
But I woke up, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm 36. Where did the time go?
Yeah.
And so as lovely as things may seem, that's just the reality. And so my reality is now I'm at a juncture where I'm trying to really decide, you know, what I start to do and how do I prioritize life and how do I fit all these things in? And I know there are a lot of other people that are going through, you know, the same thought process and the same challenge. And that's why we have, you know, podcasts. Sessions like this.
And I love that, because one of the reasons I by the time we hear this, I've recently launched an online community, This Woman Can. And it's for definitely that same reason, for women to share experiences, to take learnings, because too many times I see women fall foul of what I call the me, myself, and I syndrome, because nobody can understand what I'm going through. No one has ever been what I'm going through. No one could ever possibly understand. Yet if you tap the woman next to you on the shoulder and say, look, X, Y, Z, they go, oh, I experienced that.
You too?
This is what I did. This is what I did. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's so many women out there with so many years of experience that I wanted the This Woman Can community to be able to share that, to be a space where, or in a forum where we could talk about the challenges they face in their careers as being leaders, as moving ahead, and just navigating this whole minefield of being a woman in the corporate or just being a woman in the world. So I'm so glad you said that. I love that.
I had the opportunity to give like an elevator pitch, or basically no more than 3 minutes of what I do, my brand, my nonprofit, and everything that I embrace and what I do, literally in 3 to 5 minutes max, on Necker Island, on Sir Richard Branson's island, a few weeks back.
And you're so name dropping.
it's natural.
Yes.
And These lovely group of women, all from Australia, came under this company called Business Chicks. And these women, I'd never heard of them before. And one of the women that were there was the InStyle, chief editor of InStyle magazine, Miss Laura Brown. And, you know, I am like, wow, she's in my backyard and I'm going to get to speak. Well, I'm going to speak, you know. And these women, you know, again, they all came together for that very same purpose, and they're all well-established, well-achieved women in their own rights. And you know, for the women and I that got to come over, the locals that got to come over to give this, you know, presentation to these women, and had the opportunity to have like a 20 to 30 minute quick mentoring session by these women, was just awesome. And they were all over in Australia and the US, and, you know, they're all having, again, some of the same challenges, and giving us, you know, the encouragement, because they're definitely further than us, but just to know that they could come down to the BVI and to just, you know, release that kind of energy and just be, you know, one with us.
Yeah.
You know, there is a tier system in this world and we get it, but for them to be able to come on a relatable level with all of us, and especially for me with the speaking sessions that I got to go through with these women. One designer has in Australia over 100 stores, and she's sitting next to me going through my social media, helping me to understand what it is I need to do.
Yes.
And she's like, you're on the right path. And
you can't just pay for that.
You cannot pay for that.
Yes.
And, you know, it was so eye-opening, and I realized, you know, a lot of the people in the world, there might be a lot of bad people in the world, but there might also be a lot of really good people that genuinely want to see you succeed and help you grow your business, even if they could give you 20 minutes of their time, you know. And that's what I aspire to be. And that's why, you know, I have my mentorship program that I have with my young people. And I also have my nonprofit that we are building here in the British Virgin Islands, which helps young creatives, you know, in their right, own their craft and really try to break down the doors and break the barriers down. You know, there's so many talented people in the Caribbean alone, you know, and if I can help a few in my own country, then that's what I'm here to do. And
beautiful.
So it all works out so beautifully.
Excellent. Excellent. So Kristen, you are highly accomplished and I'm loving this, our conversation, but what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
Three things over the course of my career. Well, I've definitely learned to never give up.
Yeah.
Definitely learned to never give up. And throughout the course of the 11 years, I've wanted to give up twice. Wow. But I chose just twice. But even thinking twice is a lot.
Yeah.
But I never. And so just knowing now concretely that I'm never going to give up. I absolutely love what I do, and I stand by my work, and I stand by what it is I do, and you know, the values that we have for the business. Yeah. But I never wanted to give up. And another I would say is that I just actually have fun doing it. It's my story.
Yeah.
You know, and we all have our stories, but sometimes people and sometimes women don't embrace their story.
Yeah.
You know, I embrace the story. I embrace all of the bad that comes with it, all of the good that comes with it, because it's my story.
Yeah.
You know, and just like you said, when you read it, you was like, how come I never heard about your story?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're hearing it now.
And
you
I'm
know,
gonna share it.
Yes. And I'm along for the ride on this life for me, for Kristen, this 35-year-old. So I've definitely been embracing that. And number three. Oh boy, I am super excited about the future. I anticipate great things for the future, and I accept what is, and I think that I'm ready for the future and all that it has for me. And future could be in June 2020 and it could be June 2025. But whatever it is, I'm super excited about it and I'm ready to rock.
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. Love your energy. Love it. Absolutely love it. So Kristen, I know you're a busy lady, but where would you find you on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m.?
Oh wow! At work.
Work. Come on! You know what they say about all work and no play makes Jill a very dull girl.
You know, if it's any consolation, when I do travel, I at least try to get at least one day in there.
Yeah.
For me, and so it's unfortunately and fortunately for me, living on the island and being that I'm very very accessible with work. Here, and having my headquarters in the family business, we are open Monday through Saturday.
Right.
So I am here for the most part, and that's where you can find me at work, unless I absolutely must and say, you know what? No, I'm taking a me day and I'm going on a boat and I'm going sail and I'm going to the Bats or somewhere else beautiful. Yeah. The day. So for the most part, you can find me at work on a Saturday at 10 o'clock.
Okay. Okay, we need to work on that. So Kristen, how would you define success?
How would I define success? Well, I know that I definitely don't define it as, you know, when you've hit $1 million in your bank account.
Yeah.
I think I would more so define success when, you know, I am happy, when my clients are happy, and when the outcome is successful in terms of whether it's a meeting, whether it's a collaboration, whether it's someone coming into my store and making their first purchase from Treffle because they heard of it through someone or somewhere.
Yeah.
That's success. And I count it as a lot of little wins.
Right.
For me. And that would just all total up to that one word, success. That's what I would say. I'll keep it really simple.
Fabulous.
And
fabulous.
Yeah, simple and sweet.
Fabulous. Thank you. Now that was my last official interview question. But my question would be, if listeners want to learn more about your work, look at your work, purchase your work, what your designs, where would they find you?
Well, I definitely have that. Multiple platforms. Of course, first and foremost, my website, which is www.treffledesignswithans.com. So that's T-R-E-F as in Frank, L-E, designswithans.com. And so we ship worldwide. And so we actually shipped to Germany the other day. So that's pretty amazing. And so we have the social media platforms as well. We have Facebook and we have Instagram. That's at Treffle Designs as well. So everything is tied together quite nicely. And so those two are our main social media platforms. We do e-blasts as well. So when you go to the website, you should be able to, you know, sign up for emails. And I like to say that we do not overload your inbox. We send just enough to satisfy your taste buds and give you our slice of paradise. That's what I would say.
Well, Kristen, it has been an absolute delight speaking to you this evening. You are energy. I love, 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 as I said, the energy. You are doing fabulous work, and we need to let more people know about what you do.
Well, that is the plan. That is definitely the plan, and I have a new collection coming out as well. So, you know, following post-Hurricane Irma, I used to do one collection per year.
Right.
And now I'm trying to do 3 collections per year just to keep things keep the audience engaged and have fresh product, you know, coming. Yeah. So my current collection, A Girl Car Rose, is available now. My new collection called Whispers of Summer is going to be out by the end of January, early February 2020. And it's going to be amazing.
Excellent. Excellent. So everybody, you need to sign up to emails. You need to follow her on all the social media platforms to keep abreast of what's doing. Thank you so much for your time today, Kristen. Delighted to meet you.
Thank you so much. Definitely glad to be here, and I hope to be back very soon.
Excellent. Didn't I say it was a lively interview? I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, and I hope you enjoyed listening too. So many takeaways from what we discussed. Obviously, she's been very successful. That success didn't come overnight, and she really persevered, and now 11 years in, she's starting to see the fruits of her labor. I also like the fact how she didn't let the naysayers deter her from taking a chance when she had the opportunity to work with Beyonce. That people said she wasn't big enough, or even probably thought, who did she think she was? You know, she's a bit big for a boot. She's not ready to take on such a big opportunity. But she took the learning from it. It didn't quite go as planned, in which she admitted. But the great thing about that is that she took the learning from it. And it's something that we can do just in our careers as well. She took that risk. She wasn't sure which way it would go, but she wasn't afraid to go after it. And when it didn't turn out quite the way she wanted, she still got some advantages from it. The fact that she will know next time when the opportunity will arises, and I definitely know it will, that she knows what to do and how to approach it. The other really great points raised was the fact that she wasn't afraid to ask for what she wants. And I think I've done an episode on this before about how many times we limit ourselves from asking for what we want. So just make it a practice. Anytime you hesitate because you want something,
Think about what would happen if you didn't ask, or what's the worst that could happen if you did ask? Because most times, if the answers are no, then you're no worse off than you were before. So, you know, go for it, put yourself forward for it. And I also loved how honest she was about the fact that she had a financial mishap and how much it impacted her in later life and her business. But again, she took the learning from it. So like I said, so many learnings. And these are the kind of topics we discuss in my online community, This Woman Can. It's the community for growth-minded women, women who want to get ahead. It's the place where growth-minded women get the opportunity to meet, to collaborate, share ideas, and go deeper with our peers on topics we care most about. So it's all about sharing experiences and strategies. This Woman Can in real life, the podcast in real life. So it's free, as I said. Head over to www.thiswomancan.coach to join. And join the conversation, share your experiences. Let me know what's happening. And as ever, we will meet you here in the next episode. I want to meet you in the This Woman Can community. And remember, if I can, you can, this woman can. Take care until next time. Hi, it's Janice. Thanks for being a supporter of the podcast. But have you joined the This Woman Can community online? It's where ambitious women can share experiences, strategies, and insights that equip and inspire them to build their career success, maximize their leadership, and make an impact in their world. And it's free. Join today. Visit www.thiswomancan.coach. Look forward to meeting you there.